college. Can you share your testimony of God's faithfulness in your life?
Wow, Joel. There's so many, but I'd like to talk about my journey. When I got divorced, I instantly became a single parent, and that it was about 14 years ago. As heartbreaking as it was, being with three boys at the ages then of 12, 8, and 6, I was left with these boys, being a single parent, to fend for them, stay in this house, and pay a bond, of which I don't know where the money is going to come from. Because remember, when we get married, we don't prepare for any divorce. So that was the pits of where I actually felt that I was really, really alone in this entire journey of life. But I subsequently was attending a church, my former church, and even though I wasn't dedicated, I went there on odd occasions. That kind of kept me kind of strong in the faith until I came to Siloam. I came to Siloam and I journeyed with some of the lessons learned at Siloam. And here I am stuck with this divorce. I remember the first time I came to the church, I met Bishop at the admin center. It was at the reception, and I remember calling him Father. I was saying, good morning, Father, how are you? And he smiled at me and he just continued the conversation. But at that time, I was really going through the most. But God being God and Him being faithful, my divorce process just began then at that time. And I was with these three boys and I did not know where to go to. I had my parents who were very traditional that said I needed to fight this thing the traditional way. Keep the marriage, stay in it, and things will come right. But because I've just decided many years ago that I'm not going to journey that life. You know, I'm going to choose my path and I just want to do things differently. And now I'm sitting with these three kids and with no man. I'm supposedly married. But the divorce then happened. We then separated. I moved out of the house, rented an apartment, The payment, my divorce, the maintenance. I was supposed to get 800 rand for the three boys. And I'm thinking, 800 rand, three boys, Father God in heaven. The school fees is 1,200 rand. The bond is 5,000. How are we doing this? But then God was so good and so faithful to me. The creche where they used to go to aftercare decided that they're not going to let me pay because I thought of taking them to back home to my parents and they'll go to school where I went to school and we'll just journey from there. And I got grace in terms of not paying for the aftercare. So if the aftercare was 1,600 rand, they actually said to me I can pay 800 as and when I can. I made an arrangement with the school and the school kind of saw me through and there was just an arrangement on top of an arrangement. And Sean then went to high school. Sean is my eldest, the three boys, Sean, Chandra, Shane. And Sean went to high school and in grade 6 there was a blazer required, there was stationery required and there was just no father in the mix of everything. But God then yet again was faithful. That year, God promoted me at work and I became a manager. And the interview I went to was such a simple interview. When I look at it, when I look back at that interview, I thought like, how me out of everything, I was promoted. God made provision for me paying the school fees, etc. My manager came to me and he said, you need to start educating yourself, upskilling yourself in the things of the business, and you need to go back to school. And I decided, right, let me go back to school. I will enhance my career within the organization I'm at. Went back to school, and school was on a Thursday, which makes sense. And 1-2 months, we were into the school attendance, and we were told that school will now be on a Saturday. And on a Saturday, I used to part-time at this branch for extra income. And they would pay me, because at that specific time, they needed the assistance. So then again, money was taken away from us. But that was okay, because when I got promoted, I was not given an offer letter. I was told that I got the job, but I wasn't given an offer letter. And in that time, the promotion was put on hold because they were consolidating and finalizing some of the paperwork, all the interviews and stuff like that. What happened? Jesus alone knows. Then I actually wrote a letter to God, and I said, you know, for us to get through all of this, Lord, if you give me X amount of money, I'm going to tithe first, sort out all the other debt, and then things will take care of itself. And exactly so. When I got the offer letter, God gave me to the last zero, the rand that I spoke to him, the letter that I wrote to him about. So I tithed. I tithed. I honored my word. I tithed. And I was able to pay the school fees and every other thing that the boys required for us to be sustained in the household. Having gone through the life that we've gone through, and in all that, you know, turmoil, pain, and the loneliness, and feeling inadequate, I decided, you know what, Lord, I'm going to stop looking and doing a pity party for myself, because I actually asked God, why me? I didn't ask for this, you know. I've got 3 boys, of which I don't even know where to start. But I'm knowing that I'm doing this. How I'm going to do it, only heaven knows. I then decided to give the boys over to God. And I said, you know, Lord, you do with them as you please. I don't have much to do. And in that journey, I taught my boys, you tithe. And you don't tithe coins, because God didn't give us coins. He gave us money to tithe. So every bit you tithe, it's going to be paper money. If you've got 5 rand coins, you'll make paper money at a garage, and you will put that in the basket. You will not give God coins, because you give God coins, you get coins. Started teaching them the principles of giving, because I have been witness to giving. I got my promotion that year. I was able to pay for the stuff that they required at school and wherever. I was able to increase my and upskill myself from an educational academic perspective. So I've just been getting. I got then an offer in Polokwane for a senior role. And that time, the role, I went to an interview at the airport, and the next day I was hired. I went to my boss, and I said to her, I've been tithing, I've been giving, I've been faithful. I've honored my word as per the letter I wrote to God. My manager at that point said to me, I don't want you to go to Polokwane. It made sense, because then I'd be able to try and recover this divorce thing. Maybe we can get back together and the children will struggle and stuff like that. And she said, but I don't want you to go. I want you to stay. And I'll give you that time it was a 12% increase. I just got an increase. Remember, I couldn't pay for school. I couldn't pay for aftercare. I couldn't pay. Our staple diet was wheat bix and milk mixed with water, if not soft porridge. So that is what my boys grew up with. But they were never hungry. They never went to bed without food. And they never lacked any for school as well. She gave me the 12% increase. That was December of the year when my divorce was finalized. In July, the 31st of July, I was divorced. December of the year, I got a 12% increase. March following year, I got an 8% increase. I gave a tithe of my increase, and of my increase, I gave 3 months of the increase that I got on top of my tithe. That's how important giving is. God honored and he gave me the 12% increase. And because things was not going and the boys are now starting to not feel that void. Yes, even though there is a void that there's no father, but they did not feel the void of lack. Right? The boys started giving. I enrolled I remember vividly, I came to church and I said, they are of age now, they need to serve in church. Because I promised God I'll give them back to him. And as I was driving to work and God was saying to me, don't stress about it. I got them written in the palm of my hand. Oh, snot and trana in the car, asking God, what do you mean when you're saying this, Lord? I will not forsake anything and this and that. And crying into the parking and out of the parking. Thank God I don't use makeup because I would have been a mess. And I got to the office. My eyes were all red and people were asking me, what's happening? And I was just talking about the goodness of God to those who know God. And 2 years later, my line manager then decides that I'm not worthy of an increase, but they're going to give me a bonus, a substandard bonus. But because God provided all along, you know, give me an increase, it's okay. I can make it with this. And I think that is the part where the devil came to try and shift and change and try and understand how am I going to react in this entire situation. But because I've got such strong boys around me, we have what we called family altars, a family altar. We got to our family altar, and I think that is the day we decided that we're sticking to our family altar. We got around the family altar and they started praying for me. And I was crying. I'm very soft. I might just come across a little bit hardish or so, but I'm the softest of them all. And I was sobbing, and these three boys were standing and they were praying about it, telling me that God has got this and it. These three boys, Sean at one stage, right after when this actually happened, where I just did not get the increase, Sean's grade started going west, you know, down the road. And he was starting to get into the rebellious stage of wanting to be the class clown. And me being the mother that I am, I show him who the class clown is. You know, I like kind of fly over sofas, you know. And I'm kind of that type of mother where I don't spare the rod. I am the rod, you know. And I decided, you know, I'm not going to go down that route any longer. And I took them to places where we started making sandwiches. And we'll cut up sandwiches and make them sandwiches, butter, bread, butter, cheese, bologna, and I'd send them to go and give to the some churches, some just like homes that's there. And they started seeing how other people are living, and I think that started changing their minds. And I said to them, now it's you must go to youth and try and experiment. And hey, we're not youth type of people, we are this type of people. You know, when boys become of age, guys, it's a difficult thing managing boys. It's not an easy thing. And Yeah, we came to the final year. Sean was in matric, and guys, my child looked like he had two parents sorting him out for his matric dance. I'm telling you, we went the December to look at an outfit. March the 20th was his matric dance. March the 15th, we got the entire outfit. The entire kit was there, prepared, still there. Something we saw like 3 months ago. We still found it in the shop. The last size of this, I had to drive to Menland to get the shoes and the belt because I'm finicky like that. Your belt and your shoes must match. You know, if you're a man, you must make sure that you show up the right way because we as women, we look at the small nitty-gritty things of things. And it was important for me for him to look well. But he looked like $1 million. He looked like both parents supported. And I stood there and I said, God, you made it. You made it happen. My second one went to his matric dance, Chandray. He now looked like he was now five times more expensive than the other one. But they also made it. Sean went to varsity. His first year varsity was 180,000. I was like, Lord. So Sean comes to me, he says, Eunisa doesn't want me. I said, yeah, with marks like that, I also wouldn't want you, you know. And he says, you, Jay, declined me. I'm like, bruh, you did it to yourself. And Eduvos now comes, and I'm talking to God, and I say to God, now, Lord, now look at the story. You and I know we don't have the money for Eduvos. 180,000. I can take 3 children to varsity with this money. But by the way, where is it coming from? Because my bonus is not even 180,000. So he goes, so I'm quite comfortable. He's going for the aptitude test and he's writing the test. And the child is sitting there and I'm very relaxed. He's not going to make it. Can't make it. We don't have the money. I spoke to God already. We've got a plan. He must go back to UJ. He must go fix his marks or something. Something must come. And here the varsity says, oh no, the child made it. Oh Lord Jesus. Father my God. Where's the money coming from? Because this child now is in. Out of 5, he's top 3. I'm like, Lord, now, where did it go wrong? Where did we miss it, you and I? Because I think the our conversation was, he's not going to the school. I can't afford it. I am now stressed all over, but now he's standing in front of me and I was like, yay, you made it. And my heart is saying, oh, because we don't have the money. So I said, no, don't worry. Something will come up. And I don't know. And the organization says, chairs are up. I'm like, Lord, you know, I can't even go overseas, leave overseas. Cape Town, Inyana, you're not organizing me anything. Then Cape Town, the mountain, I haven't seen it. Okay. I took the entire money from my shares and put it into his education at Eduvos. 180,000. I nearly died, but I rose again. and then he did this because Eduvos then was Pearson, and Pearson was underwritten by Cambridge, and Cambridge was just an expensive organization. And he did his course with them, and then he finally did his degree with them as well. Chandray did his degree with him. Sean did his, he qualified and is a certified software developer. Chandray is a qualified software engineer at Eduvos as well. And Shane currently is a doing his second year of computer science with Eduvos. So, from not having anything to getting increases and not getting an increase and getting bad ratings at school and being called in because my children know I don't want to be called. I only want to be called in for your merits. Don't call me for anything else. Yours is to eat, sleep, and wake up and go to school. Mine's is to pay for that. So from having all of that and having a moment of, Lord, I can't do this by myself, to, Lord, let's continue this journey of raising these young men to being faithful husbands tomorrow. So yeah, God has been faithful on that journey. Thank you.
What lessons have you learned whilst facing challenges?
In all things, we have to give our situations over to God because He's the carrier of it. Very important, we have our children. Our children are not ours, but they are called, they are given to us by God. And they then need to be called to their ministry and what they need to be doing. So I would encourage a lot of parents to let go of their children into the hands of God. If there's anything within the church that they are doing, in youth, in any other department in church where the young ones are required, I would suggest that they be handed over into that ministry so they can fulfill what God has called them to do.
What encouragement or message would you like to offer to those who may be seeking or struggling on their relationships?
God is faithful. He's no man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he has to repent. His word is his honor. You know, God says that we need to come to him irrespective of how we are. My life being from a very cultural and religious type of, or not even culture, traditional type of environment. So I know the world of being in a culture and a traditional environment, and I know this world. And it's two different worlds. So when you come into the living in a path of righteousness, you know what you're doing is wrong and you know what you're doing is right. The minute you can be able to separate and distinguish the two between what's wrong and right, then you'll be able to go on to this journey with Christ fully. It's not difficult. It's a yes and an amen type of thing. But giving God a chance in your life will definitely, you'll definitely reap the rewards of it. So stay on the journey. Accept Christ, stay on the journey, do life with Him, and you'll see how things change for you.
Minister Anastasia, thank you for being brave and sharing your testimony with the world. May God increase and enlarge your territory.
Thank you, Joelle.